to Open for Discussion, a University of Sydney podcast series. I'm your host, Chris Knapp. I'm a lecturer in public policy, and my research looks into emotional issues that impact the public, such as LGBTQI politics, mass shootings, and the politics of shark attacks. More about that later. In today's podcast, I speak to Dr. Ron Grunstein, a professor of sleep medicine at the University of Sydney's Wilcock Institute. Ron's interest in sleep began when he did his postgraduate training at Stanford University Sleep Laboratory. His first patient was an anesthetist with narcolepsy, a condition that caused him to fall asleep and collapse suddenly while in surgery. Ron was immediately fascinated, and this kickstarted his 40-year career in the field. Ron, welcome to Open for Discussion.
Oh, how are you?
Good. So, can I tell you how I sleep?
Then can I tell you how I sleep?
Yes, please. That's okay, that's right. So I go to sleep at 12 o'clock. I take 2 Tylenol PM or 2 sleeping pills. Then I eat a pizza. Then I drink a Diet Coke. And then I wait to pass out. How's that?
It sounds pretty horrific, actually. And, Tylenol, I mean, if you've got pain and there's variable evidence for the effectiveness of those drugs in pain, but if you've got pain, then that may help you sleep. It's no good to go to bed hungry, but having a big pizza before you go to sleep, not a good idea. So there's a few things you're doing wrong.
The Diet Coke, probably not helping.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're caffeine insensitive, which mm-hmm. some people are.
Oh, interesting.
You can have, you know, so those people can have sort of 7 short blacks before they go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot, I guess that what it highlights is there's a lot of variation in, mm-hmm. in how drugs affect sleep or how things affect people's sleep, environment, light, all those things. And we have to recognize that there's, you know, we can't make hard and fast rules about everyone.
You mentioned sensitivity to light. In the world of smartphones, since I wrote all of these questions down on my smartphone while I was lying in bed getting ready to sleep, what should we do about smartphones? Are smartphones as bad as everyone says? And reading internet before you go to bed, is that hurting our sleep pattern or hurting our ability to go to sleep?
Yeah, look, I think the effect of light on sleep varies according to the time of day you get the exposure. So, for example, if you get morning light, that's actually good for your sleep and bringing your sleep to a normal time. If you get exposed to light in the evening, it generally delays your sleep. And so particularly light in the blue spectrum, so shorter frequency light, is more alerting than other sort of light spectra, than white light, for example. But the other point I made about the individual variability is that there are some people who are exquisitely sensitive to blue light, and mm-hmm. those people will sleep very badly because of the exposure. But again, I stress in some people.
Okay, so what you're saying is that it can affect not just how quickly you fall asleep, but how well you sleep once you are asleep.
Yeah, there are studies that show the depth of sleep or the amount of rapid eye movement or dreaming sleep can be impaired by the use of blue light. But you can modify that. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, Apple have got a product. Now it's totally untested as far as I'm aware.
Oh, really?
They try and, you know, change the light spectrum in the evening mm-hmm. and you know, more blue light in the morning, less in the evening, that sort of stuff.
Interesting.
I'm not selling the product because, as I said, it's untested. Yeah. And other people have, you know, glasses that can cut the blue light out and so forth. So, look, it's a big problem, and a big problem in teenagers, you know, mm-hmm. who may well be more sensitive than older people, you know. People who use devices in the bedroom, the more devices they have, the worse they report their sleep.
Okay. Do we really catch up on sleep? When I pull an all-nighter, marking or doing an exam or reading a book, and then I sleep in for 14 hours the next day, am I really catching up on sleep?
Mm. Actually, the research is only starting to emerge now because what you're talking about, recovery sleep, has never been well studied, and it's taken, I think it's of interest to the military mm-hmm. and interest to space flight and things like that.
That's so, what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
yes.
So there's a lot of money now has gone into that. And I guess the people doing work in the area all basically say is that don't overestimate the power of recovery, that mm-hmm. sometimes it takes a lot longer and more hours than you think, so that if you, you know, if you have a few nights of bad sleep, one night is not going to be enough. Again, there's a lot of variation. Some people can recover very quickly. Other people are really problematic. Sometimes they never really recover.
Is that also true with jet lag? Like, there are these people who they land and then they're fine and everything's perfect. And then there's me. Mm. And I'm like 2 weeks. It takes me, like, if I'm in the US for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, it takes me 2 weeks when I get back to Australia. Like, is that...
I think that it's the same phenomenon as why some people can handle rotating shift work better than other people. Mm-hmm. It's probably to do with how quickly your melatonin rhythm adjusts and shifts, mm-hmm. and the ones who are slow will have more jet lag symptoms.
They're... I'm a slow melatonin adjuster.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess you are. And
is drinking water, like the things that people say, are they real? Like, drink water, try melatonin, do those...
Look, I think there's a lot of things written about jet lag, but not a lot of large-scale research. So the melatonin story, there are different theories and not a lot of proof.
So is melatonin a real thing? Like the taking of melatonin, or has that become sort of one of these old wives' tales that might work for 5% of the population but doesn't work for most people? What do you think the scoop is on...
So melatonin's a hormone that's produced by the brain, the pineal gland at the base of the brain, and it is a hormone of darkness. So when the environment gets dark, melatonin levels rise, and when it gets light, melatonin levels fall. So there is this like circadian rhythm of melatonin, and melatonin's part of the signaling system for sleep. So clinically, the usefulness of melatonin hasn't been convincingly proven for anything.
For anything?
But look, let me put in the perspective. Melatonin's a drug which is not owned by any company.
Yeah.
Like, so therefore, doing a 10,000-person study using melatonin or placebo, unless the government funds that, it's not going to have legs. Mm-hmm. So what you have is a lot of little studies, and hopefully those sort of studies will help us, give us some sort of evidence. But largely for jet lag, for sleep problems in children and all these sort of things that have been touted for melatonin, even its role as an antioxidant to prevent cardiovascular disease, there's no big large-scale studies because no one's funding them.
Okay, so a lot of what we know about melatonin is not evidence-based.
No, but yeah, a lot of people buy it. I mean, I think there are figures to show more people buy melatonin in the US than vitamin C tablets. Not that there's much evidence for vitamin C either. But
no. Yeah,
people think melatonin might be a sleeping tablet, and there is some evidence that delayed release melatonin in elderly people can help their sleep, but not in younger people. But if you take melatonin during the day, when your melatonin levels are near zero, it actually can induce sleep. So you got to be careful about it.
So just to recap then, Ron, what we're saying is, even though there's an entire industry that's based on telling us that taking melatonin pills will make you sleep better, we don't know that for sure yet.
We don't know that. But, I mean, I should qualify that there are certain subgroups, like, for example, totally blind people. There is some evidence that melatonin on a regular time basis or melatonin-like substance can help their sleep. Mm-hmm. I just want to reflect that it's not, you know, the research is not of large size.
You know, in the sales pitch that's being given to the widespread public, they're not being told, you know, the best evidence that we have for this is with people who can't see. You know, that's not the message that the public is being told.
Well, I mean, if you take melatonin at the wrong time, you can make your jet lag worse, you know. So it's a challenge.
You're listening to Open for Discussion, a University of Sydney podcast series. I'm your host, Chris Neff. In each episode, I speak to an academic in my office to hear how their work is being used and sometimes abused in the wider world. So Ron, you know, if you listen to the media, they'll tell us that our sleep is awful, that we work longer hours, we sleep less time, that we're doing it all wrong. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, there should be a sleep revolution and we're in a sleep crisis. Look, the facts are that, you know, there are colleagues of mine at University of Sydney who've shown that sleep duration, the length of time people sleep, hasn't really changed in the past 20 years. They use these time use surveys where people say how much they work, how much they go to parties, all that sort of stuff. And so people allocate how much time they go to sleep. And they say that hasn't changed. But what is clear from a number of different studies, including our own, is that people are more dissatisfied with their sleep. So is that because of light, you know, too much light or other or stress? We don't know. But I'm concerned that there are vulnerable people who kind of are on the edge about their sleep. And they read all this stuff that, gee, you don't get enough sleep, you're going to die tomorrow. Sort of, and that increases their anxiety, increases their dissatisfaction with sleep and their perception of their sleep quality. So I don't think it's necessarily very helpful to read all that stuff. It's a difficult situation.
Well, and especially because sleep is one of those things that everybody does. I mean, it's a guarantee. There's a guaranteed market.
Yeah, there is a big business, as you know, said big sleep, big business. I mean, there is that sort of factor, treatment for sleep apnea devices or snoring devices, all that sort of stuff. So there's a lot of that pressure. But what the problem is for a lot of people, their perception and maybe even their depth of sleep is affected. So there's a lot of theories about insomnia now.